This is the Agribusiness Report. Our special guest today, Mark Brown with Plains Cotton Growers. Right now, Robert Bonney is Undersecretary for Farm Production and Conservation. Talks about a new approach at USDA.
Yeah, this is a different model. Our service centers are going to remain there for folks that need technical assistance, financial assistance through our Farm Bill programs. This is an effort to work with folks on the ground in a different way to provide the same type of assistance. It's going to be more flexible, and farmers are going to work with those partners on the ground. In the case of the Iowa Soybean Association, it'll be with the Iowa Soybean Association and other commodity groups. Farmers for Soil Health, same thing. There are a lot of commodity groups, corn, soybean, and pork, that are working with the Farmers for Soil Health, and they're going to deploy both the technical assistance and the practices. And so we're excited about that model. We think it might provide more flexibility, allow us to reach more farmers.
It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. We're joined today by Mark Brown. Mark is Director of Field Services with Plains Cotton Growers, headquartered in Lubbock. We'll have a email or a website address for you coming up in just a few minutes if you want to keep up with Plains Cotton Growers. Mark, this is always an interesting time of the year because the weather is somewhere between winter and summer, and it can blow 100 miles per hour in between those days. And wow, we've really seen all of that over the last few weeks, haven't we?
That is exactly right. You know, they talk about if you don't like the weather in West Texas, just wait a little bit and it'll change, and that's certainly what we've seen, everything from hot to warm or hot to cool, and also from calm to very breezy. And I might mention about that windstorm that we had three Sundays ago. Of course, I've even heard some of the old timers say, Tony, that's one of the worst ones that they've seen. It's been a long time since we've seen sand like that blowing in the area in Lubbock. And the thing that amazes me is that we do have a large acreage of cover crops out in our area, and so I'm just grateful for those cover crops that we have. It's amazing to think that it could actually have been a lot worse, but with those straight line winds, we saw a lot of pivots that were overturned. We saw some structural damage on buildings. We saw a lot of cover crops that were sand burned, including wheat that could possibly go to grain, and unfortunately we saw some erosion in places where we were just unable to keep the sand from blowing, and in places it got away from us, and then we had to go back in and do some repair work on those particular fields. But again, a lot of cover crops in the area, and I think that our producers did the absolute best job that they could in lieu of the drought situation that we have been in, along with those kind of winds that you just can't prevent things from blowing on. Now, whenever I was up in the Panhandle most recently, I did see a lot of irrigation going on and saw that occurring in wheat. I've seen it all the way from Wamesa up to Spearman. And not only are they irrigating the small grains, but I also saw a lot of pre-plant irrigation that's already occurring up in the northern Panhandle, because it's pretty amazing to think about it, but we're just a few weeks away from planting time, especially in those northern counties that we service.
Hey, Mark, I know you've been on the road. Have you had an opportunity to hear from anybody in South Texas? Because we know that those planters have already been rolling through the winter garden area and then up the and coming up that coastal bend region. So have you heard anything from those producers?
Tony, I did get just a short report this morning. I was visiting with Dwight Jackson, who's with National Cotton Council. I believe he lives actually in Corpus Christi. And he was telling me that down south that he had seen some cotton that was emerged as early as March the 2nd, and so they have done some planting down there. I think they've got some grain sorghum established down there, but he was telling me they have until April 15th, and he said that a lot of people are just waiting down there. Unfortunately, this drought situation extends across a large area, and so I think that they're kind of in the same situation that we are and certainly need some good planting rains.
You know, that really gives us the opportunity to segue here for a moment. And I think sometimes we think of our grower groups as doing one thing or maybe two things. But really, when we step back and see everything that Plains Cotton Growers is doing, you're doing so many different things. How many different things are you doing? Is that something you can even count up?
Well, yeah, you know, we were talking just a few minutes ago before we went on the air about all of the meetings that we've been holding, and there certainly have been a long line of meetings. I know it is just kind of the meeting season prior to getting out in the fields and beginning the planting season. And, you know, as I thought about the things that we're involved in through Plains Cotton Growers, we basically have four pillars that we strive to meet. And those pillars include service, promotion, research, and legislation. And Plains Cotton Growers, you know, that is the nonprofit certified producer organization for cotton on the Southern Plains and the Panhandle or High Plains of Texas. We were established in 1956 and we cover 42 counties. And, you know, I was just going through those meetings that we've been involved with lately. Let me just throw a few of those out there and just kind of give an example of some of the things that we have been working on every day on behalf of cotton producers so that they could get the work that they need to be doing accomplished out on the farm. And so in the way of service, we've spent a lot of time in the last few weeks assisting producers and actually holding producer meetings at area locations regarding decisions that they're having to make on the ARC and PLC programs, which has, of course, a March 15th deadline. So we're down to the end on that. And then also, as of March 15th, all the crop insurance decisions have to be made. So those are some things that we have been doing in the way of service in trying to help with producer education and giving them the knowledge that they need to do their business with both FSA and with RLA. Then in the way of promotion, I was by the office last week, and I noticed that Bruce Atherly was in town. He was meeting with some of our officers and with our CEO, Cody Bessant. Of course, Bruce Atherly is the CEO of Cotton Council International. And so they work on behalf of cotton producers here in the United States, and they have a worldwide outreach. And, of course, they are the ones that reach out to textile merchants and people who would utilize U.S. cotton that's being exported all across the globe. And so they were having a meeting with CCI the other day. Something that's important for producers here locally to know is that the funds that come in through Plains Cotton Growers, there's a significant portion of that each year that we use to support the efforts of Cotton Council International, because we know that we export typically 80 to 90% of all of the cotton that is produced here in the United States. So we've got to have a strong export market. So we continue to work with CCI on that behalf. Another thing, last week on March the 7th, we had some representatives and some officers down at the state capitol for Cotton Day. And that is the day whenever they spend promoting the number one cash commodity in the state of Texas, the number one cash crop commodity, and that would be cotton. And so they were down at the state capitol and talking with all of our legislators down there about the importance of cotton. And that was conducted through Texas Cotton Genders as well as a number of other cotton organizations, including Plains Cotton Growers. So we appreciated the opportunity to be part of that. In the way of research, we provide financial support for local research through the Experiment Station or AgriLife Research, also through AgriLife Extension, through USDA, and through Texas Tech University. And some of the reports that we've recently been trying to help distribute included the race trials done by the Extension Service and the cotton performance trials that are done annually by the AgriLife research staff. And so that's something that gives you an example of what we're working on in the way of local or regional research. And then finally, in the way of legislation. And this is an interesting year because not only do we have a lot going on in Washington as we prepare for the writing of the 2023 Farm Bill, then we also have a state legislative session going on down in Austin currently. I know that some of the things that we've been working on down in Austin include boll weevil eradication funding, cotton wool and mohair research funding, and also we're working on a support rider for the infrastructure that has taken such a hard hit with the recent drought situation that we're in. And we hope to be successful in providing some relief funding for cotton infrastructure. And then finally, in the way of the national legislation that we're working on, I mentioned the preparation to write another farm bill. We've got both the Senate Ag Committee and the House Ag Committee that are working and underway in terms of getting prepared to put that legislation together. In fact, tomorrow in Waco, there will be a farm bill hearing, and they will be hearing testimony from producers and from others within the industry, and they will be listening and learning as far as things that we feel like they need to be looking at in the way of priorities for this upcoming farm bill. I do know that Cody Bessent, our CEO, will be involved in this farm bill hearing that will be in Waco tomorrow. So those are just some of the things that we have going on day to day within Plains Cotton Growers. And we're out there doing those types of things and providing service back to our producers and to the cotton industry so that producers will have time to do the business that they need to do at their home operations.
Mark, we've run out of time, but if you want to keep up with Plains Cotton Growers, you can do that online at plainscotton.org. It's plainscotton.org plus PCG's annual meeting coming up on Tuesday, March the 28th, plainscotton.org. This is the Agribusiness Report.
Texas Corn Producers serves the state's corn farmers through both the Corn Board and the Association. The board is putting your checkoff dollars to work in research, promotion, and education to ensure producer profitability and market expansion. The member-supported association is the farmer's advocate in Austin and Washington, D.C. on issues from the Farm Bill, water and property rights, and more. Join the Texas Corn Producers Association today and get the latest news and information about Texas Corn Producers' efforts online at www.texascorn.org.
Life doesn't come with guarantees, but working with Rob Seco comes pretty close. Our strategic investments in the seed we offer are designed to directly improve your bottom line. From full trait platforms, breeding and development, to field-by-field planning and seed-driven crop inputs, with Rob Seco, you have precisely what you need to improve plant performance and increase yield. Every farm, every crop, and every acre. Learn more at robseco.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Our special guest today, Mark Brown, Plains Cotton Growers.
There's a tradition down here in the South, a tradition of hard work, a tradition of straight talk. For more than 100 years, Delta Pine Cotton has been a proud part of that tradition. With proven yield potential and genetics you won't find anywhere else, Strong is a legacy all its own. Protect yours with Strong Cotton from Delta Pine Brand. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Ranchers, I will see you at the 2023 Hemphill County Beef Cattle Conference, April 25th and 26th in Canadian, Texas, sponsored by Capital Farm Credit. Tucker Brown here of the R.A. Brown Ranch, and as a young rancher, I'm excited to hear the nationally known speakers, see the 85 trade show vendors, and eat some amazing beef. Register today online at Hemphill County Beef Conference website or call 806-323-9114. That's 806-323-9114.
Welcome back. It's the Agribusiness Report. Mark Brown with Plains Cotton Growers. Find them online at plainscotton.org.
Life doesn't come with guarantees, but working with Rob Seco comes pretty close. Our strategic investments in the seed we offer are designed to directly improve your bottom line. From full trait platforms, breeding and development, to field-by-field planning and seed-driven crop inputs, with Rob Seco, you have precisely what you need to improve plant performance and increase yield. Every farm, every crop, and every acre. Learn more at robseco.com.
Let's talk about supply chains. Each year, Cotton Incorporated's global supply chain marketing team has hundreds of meetings with brands and retailers in all corners of the globe. They're working to find innovative ways to replace synthetic fabrics with natural, sustainable cotton, to expand your customer base and drive more demand. You grow the cotton. The Cotton Research and Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
Welcome back. It's the Agribusiness Report.
Noted Friday at Commodity Classic in Orlando. Signing of some of the first Partnership for Climate Smart Commodity Projects. Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack was among those witnessing the signings.
We're going to look at an agreement that the National Fish and Wildlife Foundation is leading called Climate Smart Ag Commodity Partnership, an opportunity for farmers for soil health, Climate Smart Commodity Partnership to focus on cover crops.
A project designed to impact 1 million acres in over 20 states.
And we're also going to see the signing of the Midwest Climate Smart Commodity Program, where the Iowa Soybean Association is the lead, but they're working with Cargill, with PepsiCo and Target, market-oriented opportunities to develop customer-based and outcome-based contracts for soybean growers, for corn, for wheat, for sugar beets, to be able to provide the resources that a Pepsi and a Cargill need and that Target sells.
Both projects, the Secretary says, creates value-added and market income opportunities for producers. I'm Rod Bain reporting in Washington, D.C.